I want to read this morning from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 22. It says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." Let me start this morning by asking you a question. Would you like to know the continuous blessing and favor of God? Would you like to have a sense of power and achievement over your difficulties and your problems? Would you like to get the victory principle in operation in your personal experience? Of course you would. The answer to these questions is always yes. The answer to anyone's desire for victory can be found in having confidence to enter the most holy place through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is where blessing and favor is found. It can be found in having confidence to draw near to God. Do you have confidence to draw near to God this morning? Today I will be talking about 6 words to give you encouragement to draw near to God in worship. Now, the word worship comes from an old English word, worshipper, meaning honor shown to an object or to ascribe worth to some object. To draw near to an object of worship and to pay reverence or homage to that object. Now, we all need to know this morning that all of us worship something. When I say all of us, I mean humanity. Every human being worships something. In central India, a woman bows before the image of her god in the corner of her cabin. In a fantastic Asian temple, a man burns incense before the richly decorated image of the Buddha. A small group of people meet for prayer in a chapel in Wales. In a rich suburb of London, a man spends Sunday morning meticulously waxing his new BMW. A fanatical football fan prepares to spend his Sunday afternoon supporting his favorite or her favorite football team. All of these are worshippers, although some may be easier to recognize than others. But the person who spends Sunday morning waxing their car is just as much a worshipper as you who come in here this morning to spend time worshiping your God. Everybody worships something. We all have an inbuilt need to worship, whether it's the God of heaven or Allah or Buddha or the football team or the pop idol. It doesn't matter. It's worship. We all worship something. So what is your object of worship? Now this morning, I want to give you 6 words to help you draw near to your God, to our God. God the Father of heaven. God the one true and only God. God the Father of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father of this church. I want to give you some words this morning that's going to encourage you to draw near, to have confidence to draw near to God, because sometimes we lack confidence. And sometimes when we come to worship on a Sunday morning, we sit there and we wonder what's going off around us, and we're not truly entering into worship. God has said to us that he wants us to build a throne for Jesus in this church. Is that true? He wants us to build a throne for Jesus. So build it in your life. Build it in your personal experience. Build it in our corporate worship experience as well. And the first word I want to give you this morning is the word preparation. The difference between preparing yourself to worship and not preparing yourself is massive. Absolutely huge. I must prepare myself, and I must prepare my heart to draw near to God if I'm going to draw near. Now, preparation, let's say it's Sunday morning and you're coming to worship. Preparation doesn't start when you walk in through the door. Preparation starts way before you walk in the door. There's remote preparation each and every one of us need to make by way of making a choice about our priorities, about whether I'm going to be here or not on a Sunday morning in order to enter into that amazing corporate experience of drawing near to God and entering into the most holy place through the blood of Jesus Christ. I have a choice to make about my priorities. Am I going to be waxing my car? Am I going to be with family? Am I going to be going to all the car boot sales that happen around the place? What is my priority? Am I going to be in bed? Does my bed have my priority? Does my bath have my priority on a Sunday morning? So there is a decision that needs to be made. People have stopped asking me to do things on a Sunday morning because they know what my priorities are. I have made up my mind that my priority is going to be with the people of God and worshiping God on a Sunday morning. So there's that remote preparation. And we say in this church, we have a little saying which says, it's all about Sunday. It's all about Sunday. Because everything that we do in this church depends on our congregation on a Sunday morning. When you come to church on a Sunday, you're not just helping yourself. And that's perhaps a real top priority because we need to be filled up again. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be refreshed. We need to be re-energized. And that happens when you come to church on a Sunday morning. It comes from being in the presence of God. It comes from being in the presence of lovely, positive, faith-filled people being re-energized. But it's not just about that, because when you come to church and you support your church, you are supporting all the ministries of the church. You are supporting the Make Lunches. You are supporting the CAP projects. You are supporting the food hampers. You are supporting the Destiny groups. You are supporting the kids' work that take place here during the week. You are supporting the youth club on a Friday night. There's a huge amount that depends on this church. You are supporting Ian and Sarah, who are now our missionaries out in Cambodia. So there is a huge amount depending on whether we have a congregation that really and truly get church and really and truly understand that it's all about Sunday. There's a huge amount depending on whether we are going to be an invitational church and we are going to send those invites out and we are going to bring people in and we are going to bring our families with us on a Sunday morning. And there is always going to be a sense of occasion, a sense that this is special, a sense that this is different every Sunday morning that we come through the doors of our church. So there's a huge amount depending on our congregation getting hold of that little saying that says it's all about Sunday. So there's that remote preparation. The difference between being prepared and not being prepared is massive. Preparation goes on Saturday night. So, you know, going to bed on time and getting a good night's sleep and getting up on a Sunday morning and having a bath or having a shower and getting yourself ready. The natural always comes before the spiritual. It's a principle in godly terms. Getting yourself ready, getting yourself prepared on a Saturday night and on a Sunday morning. And arriving in church on time and being punctual so that we can start the service on a really positive, faith-filled note. So that's the first word I want to share with you. It's called preparation. Getting ready, being ready for worship. The second word I want to share with you is the word identity. Because you cannot effectively draw near to God without knowing who you are. You need to know who you are. Because this is about family. You know, the scripture we have read this morning, it's about family. Where we are encouraged by Paul, he says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. And he says, let us enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. This is about family. This is about the fact that you are special. This is the fact that you are chosen. This is the fact that God has done something amazing in your life, and He has translated you from being outside to being inside, from being in a dominion of darkness to being in a kingdom of light. This is amazing. This experience of entering into the presence of God through the blood of Jesus, this is not open to outsiders. This is only for the children of God. This is for you and for me this morning, because we are the children of God. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is His body. That is the body of Christ, being in the church. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with clean water. Friends, worship is not about singing songs. It's not about the loudness of the music or the tempo of the songs. It's about the call to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. What is the most holy place? The most holy place is where God reveals Himself. The most holy place is where God is present in a very special way. It's the place where God reveals Himself, makes Himself known in manifest, unmistakable, and striking form. Andrew Murray wrote in his little book, "What a rich blessing is poured out there." He's talking about the holy place. In the holiest, the favor and fellowship of God are enjoyed. At the beginning this morning, I was asking the question, do you want to experience the favor and the blessing of God? Well, Andrew Murray tells us that in that place, the holiest, the favor and fellowship of God are enjoyed. He says the life and blessing of God are experienced. The power and joy of God are found. Life spent in the holiest is spent in priestly purity and consecration. There, the incense of sweet savor is burnt, and sacrifices acceptable to God are offered. It is a holy life of prayer and blessedness. Now, this morning, you come to this place. You come to the holiest through the confidence that you have in the blood of Jesus. And you come because you are already a child of God. You don't come in order to become a child of God. You worship because God has already made it possible. It's nothing to do with you. It's all got to do with what God has done for you to open up a new and living way into the presence of God. So when we come to worship God, it's got nothing to do with the songs. It's got they can help us. They can open our minds. But it's all got to do with the fact of what God has done for us. Without Jesus and His blood shed for you, it is impossible to enter the throne room, let alone build a throne for God. Let us be clear about that the only way we can build a throne for God is because He has made it possible for us to come and to lift up the living God in our worship and in our praise. It is the blood of Jesus that exercises this amazing power to give you and me access into the very presence of God. God alone has restored the broken relationship between humanity and Himself. And you have bought in to what God has done because you have come in repentance and in faith, and you have given your life to Jesus Christ. And because of that, and that alone, can you enter into the most holy place. A.W. Tozer said, "Sometimes I go to God and say, God, if Thou dost never answer another prayer while I live on this earth, I will still worship Thee as long as I live and in the ages to come for what Thou hast done already. God already put me so far in debt that if I were to live 1,000,000 millenniums, I couldn't pay Him for what he's done for me. We are all in huge, massive debt to God because of what he's done. Because he's made it possible for you to enter into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ. So the first word is preparation. The second word is identity. The third word that I hope will help you to draw near to God is that word sacrifice. Because to sacrifice is to give up. To sacrifice is to let go of something for the sake of other considerations. Somebody once wrote about the seven deadly sins. And the seven deadly sins, according to this person, are wealth without work, pleasure without conscience, science without humanity, knowledge without character, politics without principle, commerce without morality, and worship without sacrifice. People who want it all but are not willing to pay the cost or to pay the sacrifice. This level of blessedness and enjoyment of God in worship cannot be experienced without sacrifice and cost. It will cost you, and it will cost our church. So what kind of sacrifice am I talking about? I'm talking about giving yourself fully and entirely to God. I'm talking about dying to self. Paul sums it up very nicely in the book of Colossians. He said, I have been crucified. I have been crucified with Christ. I live now, no longer I, but Christ lives in me. And this laying down of your life, it's not even your work. It's already done because Jesus somehow, mysteriously, mystically, supernaturally, you died to all of your selfishness and all of your pride and all of your lust and all of your materialism when Jesus died on the cross. You don't even have to fight that battle. You have to come to God and say, Lord, I give up. I let go. So, I mean, giving up. In order to do that, you have to stop mollycoddling yourself. You have to stop pampering yourself. You have to stop making excuses for yourself. I mean, not living in compromise and in half-hearted religion. Abandon the position of a spectator and throw your lot in enthusiastically and consistently with the people of God. Repent of the sin of worship without sacrifice, because sacrifice is essential to true worship. The next word I want to talk about briefly is attitude, because the attitude that God gives you when you truly worship him is an attitude of joy and an attitude of celebration. If there is no joy, we aren't in the presence of Jesus. Jesus has gone somewhere else. If there is no joy and freedom, it's not a church. It's simply a crowd of miserable people basking in a religious obsession. We want joy. Amen? It's a celebration. When we come to worship, we celebrate in the presence of God, because in the presence of God, there is continuous joy and there is continuous celebration. The fifth word I want to give you is the word focus. Now, let me tell you a story of a pastor of a large church who had a dream one night that really opened his eyes. He dreamed that he could see his own church worshiping on a Sunday morning. But there was something very strange about what was happening. The choir was singing, the mouths of the choir members were open, but no sound was heard. The people in the congregation were singing, but there was nothing coming from their mouths either. The preacher himself got up to preach in his typical style on a Sunday morning. He opened his mouth to preach, but nothing came out. There was absolutely no sound in the entire congregation. Then the pastor saw a little girl in the balcony, and he heard her little voice singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The pastor was confused, and he woke up and he prayed, Lord, what was I dreaming? What was that all about? It doesn't make sense to me. And the Lord spoke to his heart and said, Pastor, you just saw a picture of what I see in your ministry and in your church every Sunday morning. People are singing and you are preaching, but I hear nothing. Your heart is not focused on me. You are focused on yourself. The only one I heard in your church last Sunday was the little girl in the balcony who matters to very few people in your church, but she matters to me because she came to church today with the right motive, to love me with all her heart and with all of her soul. And you know, there's a lesson there for all of us, because the word is focus, the word is passion, the word is enthusiasm, the word is heart. God wants us to worship Him with our hearts, not with our lips, not with beautiful music, and all of that is good, and we encourage all of that, but God is looking for your heart. God wants you to be passionate about Him, to love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what God sees. God doesn't see the guitar, and He doesn't see the drums and all the other paraphernalia. They can help us, but if they don't help us to get our hearts focused on God, God doesn't hear anything. And the last word I want to give you this morning is the word reproduction. Because whatever you worship, that God is reproduced or copied within you. Whatever you worship has a great influence on who you become and on who you are. If you worship money, for example, you will never feel you have enough, because the God of greed will take you over and be reproduced in you. If you worship your body, then you will always feel ugly. Worship your body, you will always feel ugly. If you worship a judgmental God, you will be a judgmental person. If you worship an angry God, you will be an angry person. A fearful God will reproduce fear in you. You take on the likeness of what you worship. This is borne out by the psalmist today. The psalmist in Psalm 115, he says, "But their idols are silver and gold." He's talking about idolatry. "Their idols are silver and gold made by human hands." But then he makes a huge statement. We really need to think about this. He says, "Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them." So those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. Whatever it is you trust in, that's what you will become like. But the great thing is that if you trust in the true God of heaven, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in spirit and in truth, if you draw near to the God of heaven and worship Him, then you will take on the characteristics of the God of heaven. You will grow into the likeness of God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And His beauty and His love and His gentleness and His compassion and His truth and His holiness and His passion and His enthusiasm will be reflected in your life. So I encourage you this morning to draw near to the God of heaven, so that all that is good about God is reproduced within your life. William Temple, the renowned Archbishop of Canterbury, he defined worship as the quickening the conscience by the holiness of God, feeding the mind with the truth of God, purging the imagination by the beauty of God, opening the heart to the love of God, and devoting the will to the purpose of God. Worshipping the God of heaven, drawing near and entering into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, will have a tremendous effect upon your life. It will change you. It will reproduce God and the likeness of God within you, because you will have your conscience cleansed. You will have your mind freed. You will have your imagination purified. And you will have your will redirected to the purpose of Almighty God. That's what comes from a child of God who truly draws near to the presence of Almighty God. What an incredible reality. What incredible news. Those six little words today could transform your entire life, your entire attitude to worship. The word prepare, give yourself to preparation for worship. The word identity, know who you are and have confidence to enter into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Be prepared to give whatever it takes to make the sacrifice, so that worshiping God is the top priority of your life. Have a right attitude. Come with joy into the presence of God and focus your mind and your heart on God. And the outcome will be that the beautiful nature and characteristics of your God, love and joy and peace and patience and all the other fruits of the Holy Spirit, will be manifested, reproduced, copied within you. Hallelujah. Oh, what a great outcome we have from building a throne of worship to Jesus. If we're going to build a throne of worship, you know, then we have to take heed of these six simple words and make them part of our lives. I pray that there is something in this message this morning that will bless your heart in Jesus' name. Amen.